Open up to Ephesians. I believe it's... Oh, just somewhere. It's all good. We'll just... Hallelujah. As it has been for quite a while, I just have a vague idea where we're going. I do have some notes tonight if he lets me go down a certain path. Just mainly helps me find verses. Last week we talked about being taught by Christ. And where that was coming from, it's this letter to that Paul wrote to these, it's a Gentile people, you know, the Ephesian people were not raised under the law of Moses. They never heard the law a day in their life. I mean, a week before they got saved, they were probably in the temple worshiping, was it Diana, the goddess Diana, you know? So they didn't grow up knowing anything about the law. They didn't know anything about the law of Moses, Ten Commandments. What's that? You know? Yet Paul, writing this letter to them, he says, and I really, you know, there's just no way to do it in the time that we have allotted, you know, because he says in verse 17 of chapter 4, he says, "This I say, therefore." Now, therefore is based on everything he said in the letter up to that point. But let me kind of, we're still going to try and launch into this. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth," in other words, from this day forward, "don't walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." The best definition of the word lasciviousness is just no restraint. Just no restraint. The modern day definition of that would be, if it feels good, do it. Anybody ever hear that in our generation? Well, that is like the definition of lasciviousness. Okay? So they being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. And as if that wasn't bad enough, they do it with greediness. But now notice, "you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard..." Now notice the direct personal pronoun. Him, not about him. It says, "if you have heard him, and have been taught by him." Boy, that's just pretty direct, you know. "As the truth is in Jesus." And because of that, whatever this means, how they were being taught by Christ, it's causing them to be able to put off concerning their former conversation, the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of their mind, so that they can put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And just so you can't be confused that he's talking some spiritual thing, he means right down where the rubber meets the road, because he says, "wherefore," like an example, "quit lying." So he's talking about the real deal here, but he's talking from the inside out. He's talking from the inside out. Well, I've been meditating on that phrase, being taught by him. Being taught by him directly is what it's saying. Well, now, we may come back here, I'm not sure, but I want you to find two places. Now go to Romans 7 and Romans 2. I'm going to show you the difference between an unborn again person and a born again person, and how they get taught by Christ. I think, if I'm hearing him correctly, what he wants to talk about now, this would be like the question he's asking. And each of us, I would ask myself this question. Even though I'm a teacher, I got to be careful myself, you know. Even though I've been at this, how long now? 2007, 27 years. Still, here's a good question. Because we're wanting to go into maturity, are we not? Well, a good question would be to ask myself once in a while, well, what am I? Am I weak in the faith? Am I still like a babe? Or am I growing up? What am I, a teenager? Lord, I mean, I don't look at the outside. I'll just tell you, I'm 60, okay? The flesh is 60 years old. We're not talking about that. We're talking about on the inside. One time, when was that? I don't remember now. Hallelujah. I have no room to complain. I was teaching Sunday night a week or so ago, and my phone went off. Years ago, I was praying, and the Lord gave me a little vision, you know, and how He saw me at the time. And I was probably at that age, I'm guessing around 40. I'm going to say I was roughly 40 years old on the outside. But the vision He gave me was like a 7 or 8 year old playing stickball out in the street. And He was showing me, from His perspective, about where I was. Pretty young in the Lord, you know. I remember there was a minister here one time that thought he'd kind of arrived. You know? No, he was telling us that he thought he kind of arrived. He was telling a story on himself. He said, one time I was just doing pretty good. And he says, Lord, I just kind of let me know, Lord, where my maturity level is. And he says, suddenly in a vision on the wall, he saw like this thermometer that went from the floor to the ceiling, 0 to 100. And he said, I expected the marker to be somewhere around 80, maybe 90. He said, the light began blinking about 2 inches off the floor. Oh, God. Well, that's what I'm talking about, see. We're going to talk about tonight. We're going to look at, it's a time to examine ourselves, see where we are. See, now here's the thing. If I am weak in the faith, I want to know it. If I'm 13, I need to know I'm 13, and I need to sit down, shut up, and be taught. And I need to change, too. I need to change. And I'm willing to change. Listen, ever since I started praying in the Holy Ghost, my whole life has been changed. Travis said it to, where are you? Travis, you here? He said it the best. Constant change is here to stay. Boy, now if there was ever, look at him blazing that over the door of the church. I'm telling you, constant change is here to stay. Well, now, I don't know how far we'll get with this tonight, but ultimately Christ is our teacher. Do you know what He said? Even though He said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He is going to guide us into all things. But He also said right there in that teaching, He says, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of Himself. What He hears, that's what He speaks. It took me a long time to understand that. What that means is the Holy Spirit has not come to replace the Lordship of Christ. He's not come to be your Lord. Who is Lord? He's come to bring us the Lordship of Christ. So Jesus said, call no man on earth your master. You have one master. Who is that? It's Christ. Call no man on earth rabbi, teacher. Why? You have one. It's Christ. So even though it's the Holy Spirit that brings us the revelation, it's still coming from the mind of Christ. He is the head of the church. If you haven't found Romans 7 and Romans 2 by now, look on with your neighbor. Let's look at Romans 7 first. Those of you that's been down the Born Again Trail, you already know that Romans 7, even though it's commonly taught that this is a born-again person having trouble with the flesh, it's not. This is an unborn-again person, specifically like a Jew, like Saul of Tarsus, or anybody under the old covenant who was given the law, but they had no nature to keep it. They had a sin nature. They had the nature that was passed down to Adam, passed down from Adam. Now look in that condition, when you've been given God's law, look what He says about it here in verse 7. Well, what shall we say? Now, this is Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, or no, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now this is really important. Look up at me here. Dave taught eloquently on this time after time. He probably would go ballistic on me, saying, oh, Gary, I'm glad you're finally getting it these many years later. When you've got that spirit of the world in you, you don't know right from wrong. How many times did Dave tell us, look, it depends on who had you. We all have the capacity to become Hitlers. It depends on who had you. It depends on what happened to you, because there's no limits to the depth of that sin nature. It just depends on who had you. You don't really know right from wrong. You think you do because your parents smacked you around, spanked you, or whatever they needed to do. They put kind of an artificial conscience in you, trying to teach you right from wrong. But see, even that you got to be careful with, because headhunters in Borneo taught their kids it was a good thing to take the head of their enemy. And when you're not born again, you think that's right, because there's nothing in you to tell you that it's wrong. So a person with a sin nature says, well, I didn't know. I didn't know coveting was wrong. I wouldn't have known lust was wrong. Well, how do you know it's wrong now? I read it in the law, or it was preached to me from the law. He has no other way of knowing it. There's nothing on the inside to tell him. Now, with that thinking in mind, go over to Romans chapter 2. Because Paul was writing this letter and explaining, especially to the Jewish Christians, they were having a hard time understanding that in this new covenant, how God could take these swine-eating, Diana-worshipping Gentiles who had never kept the law one day in their life, yet suddenly when they receive Jesus and become born again, God makes them equal with us. They just really were having a hard time with this. All right? So Paul here, now remember, over in Romans 7, that's the picture of a man with a sin nature who doesn't even know it's wrong to covet without God's law. But now notice this, Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 14. For when the Gentiles, like the Ephesians, have not the law. They weren't raised under the law. Never even heard about the law of Moses. They do by nature. And what he's talking about there is new nature. When they get born again. When they do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts, not their minds. It comes first into the heart. These things are spiritually discerned. Last time we taught on this, I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things of God are spiritually discerned. It comes with the new nature. Let me finish reading the verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Now the man in Romans 7, who doesn't he's got the sin nature on the inside. That nature is in him. He doesn't think it's wrong to covet. There's nothing on the inside. He gets ready to steal. Nothing on the inside, unless his parents put it in him. But I mean, just what comes natural. Nothing on the inside said it's wrong to steal. Gets born again. That same man. Maybe never heard the law one day in his life. Never, ever, nobody ever even read in the Ten Commandments. Not one time. Which is the case with these Gentiles. They get born again. Maybe they've been a thief their whole life. I like to use the example in modern times. You know, a lot of people working in an office. And maybe for years. You know, because paper clips are so cheap. I mean, you know, you get a box of 100 for like a nickel, less than a nickel, I think. And you're nothing, you know. And you need some paper clips at home. And for years they haven't thought anything about it. So, you know, I need some paper clips. And they get a handful, put it in their pocket, and don't think anything about it. Take them home and use them, even though those paper clips were bought by their company they're working for. Then they get born again one day. They go to one of those, one of those meetings where you can smell the sulfur. Where the preacher preaches heaven sweet and hell hot. Boy, they get the altar call, they go forward and get saved, you know. And that was on a Sunday night. Whew, just got saved. Glory to God. The very next day is work day, so they go to work. It's about quitting time that day. They just got saved yesterday. Oh, yeah, I need some paper clips at home. Open the office drawer. Just as the hand begins to reach for the paper clips, there's something on the inside that wasn't there 2 days ago. There's something on the inside. Now, it's not literally a voice. You don't literally hear like Moses from heaven, you know, thou shalt not steal. Deal. It's not really like that. But boy, does it communicate with you. I mean, it's effective and you understand the translation immediately. Something right in your gut, something deeper than the brain, something way down there goes, don't do that. That's wrong. You didn't know it was wrong 2 days ago. You've been the mental mind at that point goes, now, wait a minute, I've been taking paper clips home from here for 5 years. I didn't think a thing about it. I went to that Holy Ghost pew jumping service yesterday, got saved. Now there's something on the inside of me. Something on the inside that's telling me right from wrong. That's right. You got a new nature. Go back to Romans 7. I can't end without this. And when that happens to you, look what happens. Back up. We read verse 7 a while ago. Back up one verse. Just look at verse 6. When he says, but now, when you get born again, we are delivered from the law. So you don't need an external guide anymore. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve now in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Well, you're in Romans, going over to Romans 14, because this is where Paul really starts talking about those that are weak in the faith compared with those that are strong. And I already know ahead of time, not everybody's going to like this. Say this out loud with me. Gary did not write Romans chapter 14. It's not his fault. That won't matter. People are going to get mad anyway. But see, if I am weak in the faith, and if I'm an 8-year-old or 7-year-old, I want to know it. I don't want to stay 8 years old the rest of my Christian life. I don't want to stay a teenager the rest of my Christian life. I want to grow up till we walk in the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. Measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I think it's really the way it goes. I want to grow up. I want to find my place. I said, I've got a place in the body. I don't care if it's the knuckle on the little finger. I want to be the best knuckle Jesus ever had. Glory to God. I want to find my place. Hallelujah. Well, starts off here talking about those that are weak in the faith. Again, I'm going to use some notes tonight. It's unusual. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now I'm just going to go ahead and read all the way down to verse 12 and then we'll come back, okay? But it's so important we keep everything in context. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is what? Who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judgeth him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Boy, if you underline anything, or there it is right there. Because this walk is not between you and your preacher. This walk is between you and your Lord. Now that's previews, but I can't wait. Call no man master upon the earth. You and I are walking this together, Jesus says. I'm your master. Walk with me. We'll walk this out together, you and I. Got that? Be fully persuaded, though, in your own mind. Your own mind, not your preachers, not your neighbors. Anyway. Now he that regardeth, verse 6, he that regardeth the day regards it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eats not, to the Lord he eats not, and he gives God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Glory to God forever. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's back up a little while. When he says being weak in the faith, he's not talking about not believing in Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying they're weak that way. Being weak in the faith is another way of saying they're spiritually immature. They're like he said about me that time. Maybe I was 7 years old. Maybe I was 8 years old. Doesn't mean I'm not his child. Just means I'm immature. Amen? I like to use the example. Cole is here tonight. We could bring him out. I could lay his little palm of his hand in the palm of my hand. You know? And his hand is little. He might watch me take a sledgehammer. 16-pound sledgehammer. Now, in the old days, I don't know, I haven't done it in a long time. Used to, I could take a 16-pound sledge with one hand and bust concrete for hours. I don't think I could do that today. I did it for years, though. Now, you could hand that same 16-pound sledge to him, and there's no way he could do it. You say, well, there's something wrong with your hand. You just really got a bad hand. There's nothing wrong with his hand. It's a perfectly good hand for a 3-year-old. He's got a wonderful hand, lots of potential. But it needs to grow up. God, that's what God's saying about his church. He's so proud of us. He loves you right where you are. Boy, don't take any of these messages thinking. I like to say it this way. He knew I was a mess when he saved me. He doesn't love me less now than he did then. He knows I'm trying to grow up. I've got a few growing pains. Do you? He loves us along the way. But I don't want to stay like I am. I want to grow. All right. What he is talking about here when he says, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful dispensations. And he gives an example. For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now you can look that word up. It's just as plain. It's talking about vegetables. Now he is not talking about if you are a vegetarian by choice, because you think there's health benefits to it. That is perfectly fine. What he is talking about is if you're a vegetarian because you think that pleases God for a religious reason. He is talking about the dietary laws. So quiet in here, you can hear a pin drop right now. Told you. Okay. Go to Acts chapter 10. This is why I had to have some notes now. We're only going to get to do part of this tonight. Real familiar passage. Now, under the old covenant, can we all agree there were very strict dietary laws under the law of Moses? There was lots of things you could not eat. Now, I mean, just pork. Let's see. Now, everyone knows about pigs. You could not eat pigs. It's just absolutely no. Okay, and it was for a religious reason. God says no. He didn't say anything about your health. Now, there's a lot of health reasons for people in the desert who don't have refrigeration not to eat pork. But he was really teaching them spiritual things. Okay, but can we agree at least that under the old covenant, you could not eat a pig? Hello, for benefit of the tape, there are more than one person here. Are you in agreement? All right. Well, Peter grew up under the law. He was not like a Gentile. Peter grew up under the law. You don't eat pigs. You don't eat. There's lots of unclean things that you don't eat. So here he has this experience with the Lord. We'll pick it up in Acts 10, verse 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now he had a vision. And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. He's looking at this. And a voice comes, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so." What's that next word? You need to underline that. Peter acknowledges that the voice he's hearing, who is Lord? He knows that he's hearing from his Lord. "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." He's talking about stuff that's forbidden by the law of Moses. "I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times. I mean, the Lord was serious about this. And the vessel was received up again to heaven. Now, ultimately, the Lord was trying to get Peter to go witness, share the gospel with the Gentiles, who to the Jew was an uncommon, unclean thing. But it doesn't change the truth of what the Lord's saying about the dietary laws either. We'll go on, maybe we could go on later to when Paul had the dissimulation with Peter later on. Because Peter, while he was living with the Gentiles, he ate like the Gentiles. But when certain from James came, you know, then suddenly he became a hypocrite. And he wouldn't eat any unclean things like that because he was trying to put on airs for James's guys. And Paul withstood him to his face because it was important. Anyway, now, let's look at this. I'm going to put this in. Sometimes it's too King Jamesy. We don't get it. All right, now look. Verse 12. "Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.'" Now let's put that in plain English. When he says Lord, he's acknowledging who this is. So let's say it like this. Jesus, I know that you are Jesus. I know you're the risen Christ. I know you're my Savior, you're my Master, but let me explain something to you. I am a Jew. I was raised under the law of Moses. And I have been taught my whole life that it is not lawful for me to eat these kind of things. Jesus, I know you are the God-man, the man-God, the second member of the Godhead who was before all things and after all things. I know you're the Alpha and the Omega, but Jesus, let me instruct you. I am not allowed to eat those things because I believe the law is still in effect. Yet Jesus was gracious and lowered the sheet to him three times. Do you understand that's what we do? When we refuse to accept what the New Testament teaches compared to the law? Ruthie is sitting here. No point mentioning the particular denomination. There's a lot of them that do it. There's a lot of churches that still put their people, they take them back to the law of Moses, and they put them right back under the dietary laws as a religious thing, not necessarily a health thing. She couldn't even eat strawberries because the seeds were on the outside. Now, what did we read there in Romans 7? We have been delivered from the law. Now, you better get it straight or you're going to stay a baby, an adolescent, a weak in the faith. We love you. We'll share everything with you. Thank God we're all going to heaven. I'm going to grow up. I've made up my mind I'm going to grow. I'm going to eat the strawberries if the Lord says I can eat them. And pork chops. Now, just so you know, I'm not just... Look. Go back over to Romans 14. That was enough. Go back over to Romans 14 now. Romans 14. Who wrote the letter? Paul wrote the letter. Now look what he says. Right after he said, I didn't read quite far enough, we finished in verse 12. Romans 14, 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's go on a couple of verses. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now get this. Paul's writing. Isn't it Apostle Paul? I know and am persuaded by who? The Lord Jesus. He learned this from Jesus, the risen Christ. You know, Paul didn't follow Jesus while Jesus was teaching on earth. He received this himself by revelation from the Lord. Same way Peter did. That there is nothing unclean of itself. Now let's just stop right there for a minute before we go on. How can Paul say that if the law of Moses is still in effect? We could turn right over there right now and find a whole bunch of them. Thou shalt not eat this. Thou shalt not eat that. Let's just take a pig. We can all agree on a pig. We know you couldn't eat a pig. Now what did he say right here? I have been taught by Jesus himself that there is nothing unclean, including, you could add, doesn't nothing include pigs? Well, see, that portion of the law passed away. Really? Just that portion? Well, let's take another one. How about the Sabbath? Well, that's what Paul starts talking about next. Verse 5 of Romans 14. Now, we're going to bring balance. See, right now, we're focusing on those that are weak in the faith one way. I'll tell you right now, anywhere that you don't know your liberty, you'll substitute legalism. You might as well know that. What's amazing is the legalistic, immature ones are really more often to set in judgment over the ones who are really mature. How could you be holy and eat pig? Well, because Christ has cleansed all things, but they're still under the law. Anyway, I get ahead of myself. Well, let's look at the Sabbath now for a minute. Okay? Verse 5, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Now here we go. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eateth not. And he gives God thanks, for none of us live. We could go on and on. All right? First he talked about the dietary laws, now he's talking about holy days. Well, the holiest of all is the Sabbath, is it not? Okay? We have the Seventh-day Adventist today. I mean, you know, I've seen several billboards driving around the country. Well, now they say the mark of the beast is because you don't worship on Saturday. Anyone seen that? Oh, yeah, guy's got a whole ministry built on it. He'll still go to heaven as long as he doesn't deny the blood of Jesus. But all that work's going to be burnt up. Wood, hay, and stubble. See? But now let's look at it. First off, you need to know this. Well, let's go look at what Jesus said about the Sabbath. Go to Matthew 5. I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you ahead of time. You want to go minister for God in Korea like I have the last 4 years? You better learn to eat creepy, crawly things. Now, they'll have great mercy on you. They're really pretty mature there. And if you just tell them, say, look, I'd really rather eat, because there is Bennigan's and McDonald's and Subway, and there is all those, you know, Outback, and there's everything, you know. And they'll do that to you. I mean, you know, they'll say, but see, me, I like what Jesus said. When you go, eat what is set before you. And they'll take you to good places, but I got to tell you now, it's a little bit different than the fried chicken dinner you're used to. Okay? First time only once during all these times, you know, they set things. I mean, I don't even recognize a lot of the food. I can't tell you whether it's animal. Only once did they set this one thing, and I had to ask. I mean, I would have eaten it anyway, but I just had to know. I said, is this worms? It looked exactly like brown, long earthworms, like brown earthworms. I said, is this worms? Had that gelatinous look to it and everything, you know. He said, no, it's roots. It was some kind of roots that come off a plant. But boy, it looked like a bowl of worms, you know. Now, what if he'd have said it's worms? What would you have done, Gary? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'd have ate them right down. The Lord's blessed me with a strong constitution. Matthew 5. Hallelujah. Now see, let's get this real straight. Verses 17 and 18. Boy, I've had this preached at me in a legalistic way before we came to the prayer center at a lot of churches. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Boy, I've had them take that and go right back to the dietary laws, go right back to the Sabbath, go right back to everything, saying, see there, till heaven, has heaven passed away? Has earth passed away? No. Then not one jot or tittle. Well, let me ask you this. Is Jesus confused? He knows what he's doing, right? Go over to Mark chapter 2. Because what he says in one place has to square with what he says in another place. I'm going to start in verse 23, because he teaches about the Sabbath right here. And it came to pass, verse 23, Mark 2, 23, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on what day? The Sabbath day. Now, just so you'll know, when it says Sabbath, it's talking about Saturday. Here, okay? Last day of the week. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not what? Not lawful. It's not lawful to do this. And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. In other words, not just the king, priest and king, but he gave it to the military guys that were with him. And he said unto them, now, boy, now get this. Get this. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, back in the beginning, when God gave the law to Moses, shall not work on that seventh day. Don't do any work at all. And a man went out picking up firewood, did he not? Gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. First time it had happened since the law had been given. Well, you know, you got to understand, they knew this guy. What if it was your Uncle Fred? What if it was your brother? Say, well, we better bring him to Moses. He, you know, Moses has a good thing going on with God. We'll see what God says to Moses. So they brought him to Moses. Say, well, here's the situation. We found him out working on the Sabbath day. What should happen to him? And Moses, it says, he asked, inquired of the Lord. See, and it seems so out of character now. You know what the judgment was? You know, don't you? Death. Stone him to death for violating the Sabbath. How did he violate it? Working. See, here's what you got to understand. Get back to my notes. The Greek word for Sabbath used here is sabbaton, S-A-B-B-A-T-O-N. It comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, S-H-A-B-A-T-H. And it means rest. It means to cease from labor. Now this is important. It does not mean the seventh day. Many people, because of the way it's been used, think that that word literally means the seventh day, and it does not. God declared under the Old Covenant the seventh day to be the Sabbath. Got that? What was the lesson, God? Why was it so important to God that a man who violated that would wind up perishing? Jesus is our Sabbath. You can only make heaven by resting in His finished work. And if you try to work yourself to make it to heaven, you yourself will perish. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Try and get there by your own works. You try and be good enough. You try and work hard enough. You try and give enough. You trusting in your works, are you? You working? When really we're in God's Sabbath. If we had time, we could go through Hebrews 4, the whole chapter. To enter into God's rest. God's rest is when you trust in Jesus. And you cease from your own works. And if you don't cease, you will perish. That has been, this is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5. The Sabbath has been fulfilled. And to try and go back and declare any day. I mean, some Christians will fight you that Sunday is the Sabbath. No, it isn't. Christ is our Sabbath. I don't care if we have church on Tuesday. It's whatever. It makes no difference, but be fully persuaded. Now, I've got to tell you this, or I'll be in trouble. Don't you believe anything I say tonight. Don't you? What I'm saying is, don't you change based on what I say. You have got to be fully persuaded in your own heart. Because the same chapter, we may not get there tonight, we might. Whatever's not of faith is sin. And if something in you goes, But I better not eat pork. I'm telling you, God don't like it if you eat pork. It's no. I'll be in violation. If you still believe that, don't eat it. Don't eat it. But get in the Word for yourself. Become fully persuaded in your own mind. God will receive you anyway. He'll receive you. See, that's what we're supposed to do, is receive you. Not judge you. I don't know how far we'll get with this. One way you can stay weak in the faith, or young in the faith, or adolescent in the faith, is to stay legalistic under the law. This is not a big shouting amen message, is it? Yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Way too much to do tonight.
I've
got to let him digest this. Now, why this is so important. Much of the deception that goes on today from the pulpit. Dave said it right. He says most deception comes from the pulpit. Usually the sheep don't do enough to deceive themselves. Now, that's just the truth. Dave said that first. Okay. I'm quoting. But you know it's right. We're spoon-fed deception from the pulpit. Most of that deception, one way or another, or a lot of it, comes from twisting the old covenant. And because we're not mature and understand our freedom, it's easy for us to be placed back under certain portions of the law. Now, see, the tendency is to say, well, yeah, okay, Gary, I'll agree with you on those two things. Yes, I can plainly see Paul says he has been taught by Jesus, and Peter was taught by Jesus, nothing is unclean of itself. Well, that does away with the dietary portion of the law, does it not? You'd have to say that portion's been done away. Well, what about this teaching on the Sabbath? Once you understand that Jesus is our Sabbath, and that the message is don't trust in your own works, trust in Him. That's the Sabbath. Well, then it doesn't matter anymore. That portion of the law, that seventh day thing, has been fulfilled. You're not under that anymore. You can meet on Tuesday, Thursday, whatever you want to do. Just keep meeting. It does say don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We used to have Thursday night Bible study. And for many people, it was their church. People got saved there. People got baptized in the Holy Ghost. People got healed. You mean God came and it wasn't the Sabbath? Oh, yeah. Because it was the Sabbath. We've entered into that rest. Every day is the Sabbath. Now see, now you're at a place where you got to go, okay, I plainly see the dietary portion that's been done away. It has been fulfilled. It would be wrong for me to put people back under the dietary. Now again, I got to say this. We're not talking about health benefits. Okay, there's a big difference. And if you think it's unhealthy to eat pork, for God's sake, don't eat it. If you want to be a vegetarian, if you think you're healthier being a vegetarian, fine. We have no quarrel with that. Well, where we have trouble is when you start adding God in on it and putting people under the law with it. Now you're in trouble. That's not true. It's like putting people back, you got to meet on Saturday or you're not meeting on the Sabbath. No, Jesus is my Sabbath. That has been fulfilled and it's abolished. It's gone away. It's done. It'll never come back. You can't put me under that. Well, now what are we going to do with the rest of the law? You going to pick and choose, are you? Go start the car, baby. I'm about to pull it underneath the canopy out front, have the engine running. Because I'm about to enter where angels fear to tread right here. Hello, okay, thank you. You say that now. If you were an Ephesian Gentile, and last week you were worshiping the goddess Diana in some temple, and you had never heard the law of Moses one day in your life, but somebody came this weekend and preached Christ, and you went forward at the altar, and you truly got born again and even baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, there would be nothing in you, nothing, when it came offering time, that would think of a tithe. You never heard of it? You'd never heard of it your whole life? You'd never been taught the law of Moses? See, the new nature is not quantitative. The new nature is moral. Green light, red light, this is right, that's wrong. Do this, don't do that. There would be a nature in you that says, boy, that Pastor Dave is really teaching me good things. Man, it must cost money to keep the lights on in this place. I need to give here. I need to... See, there would be... Christ's nature is to give. But the point is, there's nothing in you that would quantify it, that would come up with a tithe if you'd never been taught to tithe. See, and really, if you're like me, I don't say this for any other reason except it's true. I know that on my own, if I get justice in any measure for what I deserve, I know I'll wind up in hell. I know I'm not hired. I am owned. 10% is not His, 90% mine. All that I am, all that I have, all that I ever will have belongs to Him. And He's tried me more than once. He can whisper at midnight when it's inconvenient, and we'll still give it. Even if that means driving to another city to give it. We're not hired. We are owned. That's the nature that comes in you when you really get born again. And He is your all in all. Without Him, you'd have eternity in hell, and you know it. There's nothing He can ask for that's not His. And there's no mentality in me. How did that tithe thing ever come up? They taught it to me out of the law. And I was a little babe and I didn't know any better. Now, I believe in... because you're against the tithe. I am absolutely not against the tithe. I am against doing anything because it's under the law and you feel like you have to. Christ is the end of righteousness. It is the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. I do not look to the law for my righteousness. I look to the Christ who is within me. For me to give 10% when my Lord is telling me plain, give 50% that day. And I hear Him plainly saying, give half of everything you've got. Put it in the offering. And for me to go back on the law and give 10% is disobedience to the 10 power. To the 10. Well, I gave my 10%. The law is not my master. Christ is my master. We've got to grow up. Grow up. Am I against the tithe? I believe we ought to give a whole lot more than that if you want to know the truth of it. Not just at church, but share your bread with somebody that doesn't have any. Share your clothes with somebody that doesn't have any. If you have two coats, isn't that what He said? But we've got to grow up out of this law mindset. You have the living Christ on the inside of you. You have His nature and you've got the Holy Ghost to bring you His mind at any given moment. Call no man on earth your master. You have one master. And that's Christ. Is this good stuff or what? Hallelujah. Mundara Brasuki. Mundara. Oh boy. Yes, sir. Go back to Romans 14. Now, let's go to the other end of the pendulum. What I mean by that, one way you can show your immaturity is to show how legalistic you are. Putting people back under the law. Putting them under the Sabbath. Putting them under the tithe. But listen, if you're going to... What portions are you going to stay with? And what portions you go... You know? Well, if you're going to stick with the Sabbath, I want to know why you're not wearing little frontlets in front of your eyes. You know? You know what I'm saying? They said, you know, keep it before your eyes, that little thingies. I don't know what they call it. There's a Jewish name for that thing. And when was the last time you sacrificed a lamb? It's under the law. Uh-huh. When was the last time you brought your grain offering? Threw a loaf of bread at Dave. Heave offering, you know, bring a calf shank. Throw that up on the altar. That'll go well. I'm just saying, I'm trying to get ridiculous on purpose. What are we going to do? Well, I like this part. That part's passed away. This part's passed away. That part hadn't passed away. It's all passed away. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law is for the lawless. In plain talk, the law is for the unborn again man. That's why we have laws in this country. God forbid a Christian should be found stealing. Because you have a law unto yourself. Now, if you find you stealing, I thank God there's a law in the land. You need to be locked up till you learn to listen to your new nature. See, the law is for the lawless. But you got a law on the inside. Hallelujah. All right? Let's look at the pendulum swing the other way, though. The other end of it. Well, I'm just going to eat my pork chops right in their face, and they need to know that I'm free and that they're just little wimpy babies, and I'm going to eat my pork chops and come in with barbecue sauce all over my mouth just to show them how mature I am. Well, you're showing them something, all right. You're about as immature as they are. Trying to show off your liberty. We were doing the Bible studies. Most of you know that we started off doing a Bible study in our home. God sent us after a specific group of people that had been hurt in churches. We knew most of them, had known them for 10 or 15 years. And many of them had got hurt one way or another, whether it was justified or not. In their opinion, they were hurt, and they weren't planning on going back to church, not ever. And the Lord dealt with us and said, look, if you'll invite them to your home and treat them like family and make it unchurchy, he says, they don't hate me or anything. They'd like to come and learn more about me. But they're not going back to church. But if you'd invite them to your living room and where they just felt like they were at home, they'd come. And they did. Many of them got rededicated. They brought some friends. People got saved. All kinds of good things happened. Now, that was during the days when Gary was still smoking like a freight train. God had delivered me from alcohol. God had delivered me from pornography. God had delivered me from a lot of things. But I was still smoking like a freight train. And I wanted them to know it. I didn't want to be a hypocrite. So I sat out on the front porch as they would come, smoking on purpose, so they could have the opportunity to leave. Now, the thing of it is, most of that group he sent me after smoked too. I'm not justifying. I'm just telling you that we grew up together. We knew we ran in the same circles. I thank God I don't smoke anymore, in case, you know, it's been years. But anyway. Now, I'm saying that for a reason. One night at one of those Bible studies, I mean, God's presence would come, would it not? And I mean, he was blessing people, and the anointing was thick in there. And I think that night I was teaching something about wine, you know. And one of the young ladies, I never forgot it. It was really in the discussion afterwards. You know, we always have fellowship and have pie and tea or whatever we had. And in the fellowship afterwards, she said, boy, I just don't know if I ever saw Gary and Sue coming out of a liquor store with bags of liquor. Says, I think I might give up on the whole thing. Now, isn't that interesting? That's why Paul says here, I didn't have time to get as far as I wanted. Okay, start in verse 14 again. It says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably or not in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, your good meaning your liberty. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's not what it's all about. Christ didn't die so we could eat pork chops. That's not the main thing, okay? You know? But it's about righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherein one and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, for what you're eating, destroy not the work of God. Now get this. All things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubteth, though, is, it says damned, it's condemned. He's condemned if he eats. His own conscience is smiting him, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now let's go back to that modern day example. See, we don't have time to teach on this, but I'll probably have to deny this if you quote it. Shh, time out, just between you and me. It's not a sin to have a glass of wine. Yeah, turn off the recorder. I want no recorder. It's really not. The Bible says don't be drunk on wine or in his excess. But it also says don't be a glutton. See? Whoops. I know I can have wine if I want it and be okay with God, as long as I don't get drunk on it. But if that lady was to see me coming out of the liquor store with bottles inside brown bags, would I make her stumble? Would that give the enemy an open door to say, see there? There ain't nothing to it. Ain't nothing. You might as well quit going to that Thursday night Bible study. You might as well quit going to church. There ain't nothing to it. Go back and shack up with that guy like you used to. He says, for your liberty, don't use it to destroy the weak ones. He says, till heaven and earth pass. If it comes to that, in Corinthians, he says, I won't eat flesh or drink wine if it would make my brother stumble. See, I have faith toward God. I know I can drink, have a glass of wine. Now, by the way, those that know my testimony, I'm not teaching this so I can drink wine. I haven't had a drink of alcohol since 1980 of any kind. Not one mouthful. So I'm not teaching this to justify. I don't drink it. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because it's the truth. See, but you can show your immaturity by your legalism. Or you can show your immaturity by not loving your brother and by flaunting your liberty in front of those that are still weak. See, the goal is to teach them, not correct them. Now hear that again. The goal is to teach them, not correct them. If you make them feel like an idiot, you make them feel like a fool. Or if they... Now, you got to remember, usually it's the immature ones that are more judgmental than the mature ones. And if they see, like that lady there, if she saw me coming out, she would immediately judge hypocrite. She would judge me. See? And I've lost my opportunity to teach her. She wouldn't come back. So it's for her sake... Not going to do it. Not going to do it at all. Not going to give that opportunity, see? All right. Hallelujah. Now, go back to Ephesians 4. I'm closing. Y'all getting anything out of this? Yes, sir. I almost forgot. Thank you, Lord. Find Ephesians 4, but I want you to go to 1 Corinthians and look up two verses. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. You there? 1 Corinthians 6, 12 says, it's the same author, Paul. Really the same author, the Holy Ghost. But Paul writes, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Jesus wants us free. He does not want anything but Him having lordship over us. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay, right along that same line, go to 1 Corinthians 10. And this is at the end of a long teaching along these same lines. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful for me. Boy, right there, you get thrown out of most churches right there. All things are lawful for me. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. But all things edify not. When I went to South Africa, over there, it's every single meal except breakfast, they have wine. The Christians. It's not got the same stigma there that it has in America. Okay? And so, I mean, it's just normal. They don't think anything about it at all. It's just not an issue. They don't get drunk with it or anything, but every single meal, I mean, the noon meal and the evening meal is a cup of, you know, a glass of wine. And depending on what you're eating, it'd either be red or white. Well, of course, they're, you know, setting me down and putting food in front of me and getting ready to pour me a glass of wine. Now, see, I don't want to offend them. I could go either way here, couldn't I? Right? I don't want to offend them. So I was asking the Lord for help, and this seemed to work. See, if you ask Him, He'll give you wisdom. And I said, oh, thank you. Listen, if I was allergic to peanuts, you wouldn't give me peanuts, right? I said, look, I have a reaction to alcohol that is not good. And so I just a long time ago decided I wasn't going to have any. Just not. I have a reaction to it that is not good. Please enjoy your wine. Let me have water and coffee. Of course, now some churches, coffee's a sin. But anyway, it's another deal. I still think Dave is right on that. Even though he's wavered a little in these last days, but in the early days now, the tree of life, coffee bean tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, decaf. Now, they accepted that fine. See, that made perfect sense to them. And I told them that for years I was an alcoholic, and the Lord delivered me, and I appreciate it. But I said, look, I have a reaction to that like some people have with peanuts, and I'm just better off without it. Is that okay? And they said, oh, yeah, sure. He'll give you wisdom to deal with them. Let them have their wine. It's not a sin anyway, you know, and still yet be able to fellowship and still yet be able to teach. Amen. So let me just offer up a prayer for us all. This is just a teaching night. I guess you can tell that. This is not a line night. What He's after for us is to grow up. Now, this might be a night that we'd examine ourselves. Go, Lord, is this... See, okay. There's two ways you can go here. Lord, where am I still under the law? What am I doing because I was put under the law? Of Moses, I'm talking about. He wants you free from that. I told you to turn to Ephesians 4, didn't I? Then I didn't read it out of it. Hang on. See, we're to be taught by Christ now is what I'm getting at. Galatians, Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. The new nature will teach us from the inside out. Verse 20, Ephesians 4:20, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. How does he teach us? He teaches us by that nature. It's his nature. It's his nature on the inside. You don't have to go to the law to be taught that stealing is wrong. He'll teach you that from the inside out. You don't really have to go to the law to learn to give. Your big problem, if you'd be taught by him, is not giving it all away. I'm telling you right now. He is a giver by nature. He'll make a giver out of you. Guess what else he is? He's a lover by nature. He is love. And as we grow up, we become love. Hallelujah. I think that's enough. I think that's enough for tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, don't leave us like we are. Oh, I didn't finish. I can't finish till he says I can. A couple of more sentences. We're about done. Listen, we need to ask two questions. Number one, Lord, where am I still under the law and putting other people under the law? That's one way you can show your immaturity. But right on the other end, I need to ask the Lord, Lord, am I flaunting my liberty? Am I causing other people to stumble by the things I'm doing? Am I doing things that are going to cause these little weak ones to fall? Lord, show me either way, because either way is immaturity. Either way is immaturity. One, you're legalistic. The other one, you're not developed in love enough. You care more about your freedom than you do people. We need to grow up in both areas. Amen? Now, Father, I have that release. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, teach us all. Lord, we don't want to be at either one of those pendulum swings. We want to come to the center and be taught by you, Lord. Thank you for the nature you've put in us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the true teacher of the body of Christ. We know he's bringing us your mind. Father, help us be a light. Help us be salt. Help us be the witness that you want us to be in this earth. Father, we give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.